Mr. Fielder, Reel 1. Can you tell me how and when you came to join the Army, please?
I joined the Army 1939, 15th of November.
Were you a volunteer or were you conscripted?
There was conscription, but I volunteered because I wanted to go in the Royal Engineers.
Why did you want to do that?
Because my father was an MM in the Royal Engineers, and I wanted to follow in his footsteps.
Was it easy to get the cap badge of your choice?
Yes, if you volunteered before your turn came up as a militiaman, you could go into the regiment of your choice.
And where were you trained?
I was trained at Colchester, number 4 TBRE.
What did you think of the training that you got?
Oh, very good. I was a bit apprehensive, obviously, being a young man, but the actual training was good. The discipline was very, very hard.
What unit did you go into, first of all?
I went to number 4 TBRE, as I said, and then I did about 3 months there and was posted straight over to France to join the 2-6.
What was the 2-6?
2-6 then was a field company.
And where were they stationed in France?
They were then moving up to Arras and Metz and that area. They were moving up towards the Maginot Line.
Which month do you think that you might have joined them in the Maginot Line?
I would imagine that would be the end of March, beginning of April.
What was their job supposed to be in the Maginot Line?
Well, we just took over part of the Maginot Line and we were clearing up a horrible mess the French had left. We were doing forward duties.
What was this mess they'd left?
It was just, what can I say? It was just, as I say, a mess. It was absolutely everything filthy, and that we had to clear it up and establish ourselves.
By mess, do you mean litter all over the place? Or yes. Was it worse than that?
Well, it was generally filthy.
And what else were you doing apart from cleaning up the mess?
Well, that's about all I remember. I was on a forward Bren gun. After a while we got relieved.
Do you mean to say that you were like in an infantry role?
No, we were in a sapper role, but not doing sapper work at that time.
But were you constructing things or what?
No, we just went into the Maginot Line, cleared up this area that we were taking over, and we stayed there for months, and then we got relieved. And it was when we were relieved that I was taken seriously ill. So I was taken down to a place called Auch, southern France.
What were you ill with?
Dysentery and gastroenteritis. Terrible. I was in a hell of a state.
Were you the only one to get it?
Yes. I was only, as far as I know, yes. I was too ill. I don't quite know what situation was.
How had you got that, do you think?
Well, I think when we got relieved, we came out and we went to the French cafe drinking French beer, and I think some of it must have been over the top. And I reckon that's how I got it. I don't know.
What kind of treatment did you get at Osh? Well,
down at Osh, it was a marvellous hospital. The French treated me with vegetable water mainly. They wake you up about every hour and give you small doses of vegetable liquor. And then from then on with milk. And they cured me. It was then going on from there, I was going back to the unit. I got as far as Le Boule in France, and there was a holding unit there at Le Boule. we then heard that they were retreating, and the lads had come out at St. Valery, 2-6. But we made our way up to St. Nazaire.
Who were, when you say we, who were you with?
Well, there were several more lads, you know, you collect them on your way up. There was quite a few at Le Boule, quite a few chaps at this holding chap, this holding camp, rather.
Why had they been separated from the unit?
Well, because, no, that Le Boule was being used as a holding camp. They used to come over, land at Le Havre, go down to Le Boule. Well, actually, that's where I first went, down to Le Boule, and then got posted from Le Boule up to the 2-6.
So while you were in the Maginot Line, had you seen any Germans at all, or gone out on patrol?
No, we didn't go on patrol because that wasn't our line. if I could be contradicted, but I think the first casualty of the war was in our area of the Maginot Line.
How did that happen?
I think he was shot in the Maginot Line, you know, in front of the Maginot Line. I'm not positive about this, but...
Did the Maginot Line impress you?
No. All as it was a mass of concrete.
But wasn't that impressive?
Oh, yes, if you can call a mass of concrete impressive. But I remember the lads were making a meal, and they were down in one of these bunkers, and there was one hell of a panic. Chappie'd tried to fill the hydro burner when it wasn't cool, and it caught fire, and everything was on fire down in this bunker.
How did they put it out?
We put it out in the end with the blankets and sheets and anything you'd get out of. But
did you have much to do with the French troops in the Maginot Line?
Yes, we were with them quite a bit. Well, we had to be.
What impression did you get of them?
I don't want to sound detrimental, but not a lot. Their discipline was poor.
How did that show itself?
Well, they generally didn't know what to do and what they were doing. Hence the mess, I think.
Were they French sappers?
No, I don't think they were. I'm not sure. I can't remember that. But I don't think they were sappers.
What type of things should they have known how to do, which they didn't know?
Well, it's discipline. At that time in our army career, discipline was everything. And They didn't seem to have any.
What was their attitude towards the British troops?
Oh, it was very pally. We got on very well with them.
Did their morale seem to be good? Did they seem to want to fight the Germans?
Well, yes, when we got up there, they seemed to be happy to have us. But going on from that, before we got to the Maginot, we were cutting down trees and lopping them over roads, you know, and all that sort of thing, making obstacles.
Where was that?
Outside Arras, Metz, Thienville, and all the way up that way.
Do you think they would have been effective as
barriers? No, absolutely no.
But did the French troops you came across seem to be keen to fight the Germans?
No, I had the impression that they weren't all that keen.
Was there anything you can quote to show that?
No, I don't think so, because, actually we didn't have a lot to do with them except socially. We were using the same canteen and that sort of thing at one time.
Did they seem well fed?
Yes, they seem very well fed. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Now, you were telling me that you didn't go to Saint-Valery, but Saint-Nazaire.
That's right. being ill, as I say, I went to Osh, back to Le Boule, and I was going back to the unit. That was my thing. When I left Osh Hospital, I was going back to my unit via Le Boule. And it was then that we heard that they were retreating, and they'd gone back through Saint-Nazaire, Saint-Valery, that we were told that we had to make our way to Saint-Nazaire. And it was in the same time as the Lancaster. Do you remember the Lancaster?
Lancastria.
Lancastria, that's right, went down. And we came back on a Polish boat.
Can you describe what happened to you at Saint-Nazaire?
Yes. There was just, what shall I say? Mayhem. Everyone was wondering what the hell to do. I remember plainly there was a Salvation Army van there serving tea. And we said to them, "Aren't you coming?" And they said, "No, we'll come when the last man comes through."
Did you admire them for it?
I certainly did admire them, and I do to the day. They were absolutely adamant that they weren't coming until the last man had come through.
Were you under anybody's orders at Saint-Nazaire?
No. Strange but true. No, it seemed to be every man for himself. There was this large Polish liner called the Battery that was in dock, and everyone was streaming on board as fast as they could, throwing everything into the sea that they had, like rifles and everything like that, and making things as light as they could.
Did you throw your rifle away?
I didn't have a rifle then. I was coming from hospital, you see.
Who had told you to make for Saint-Nazaire?
Well, it was follow the leader. No one told us to. It was sort of follow the leader sort of thing. You were all in the same boat.
Did you get on the Bittori yourself?
Yes, I got on the Bittori, and we were just steaming out, and Jerry came over and bombed us, and he dropped one about 15 yards away and put the electrical gear out, and that was panic in itself. Anyway, they got it going again, and they took us across to Plymouth.
Did you see the Lancastria?
Yes, it was in when we were milling around.
Did you see it hit?
I didn't see it hit, no.
So you got out before it, did you?
No, I think the Lancaster... I'm not positive about this, but I think the Lancaster... No. The Lancaster had been bombed when we came out. It had already happened.
Was there any other German Air Force attack as you went back?
No, just that one attack.
What condition were you in on the ship?
Well, it was terrible. We were down below when this bomb went off. It was absolutely frightening because the whole thing shuddered. And you thought we'd been hit. But lucky enough, we hadn't.
Was there any space on it, or was it packed?
No,
out?
It was packed, absolutely packed.
Was it just British soldiers on it?
Yes, all British soldiers, yeah, trying to get off. Because, see, we were after St. Varin, after Dunkirk, and it was the remaining soldiers that were left then to get out.
Any foreign soldiers?
Not that I can remember.
Or civilians?
No civilians.
What kind of reception did you get in Britain?
Oh, fantastic. When we got to Plymouth, they had a band playing. And they were issuing out little packages of goodies. That was a WVS, I think. And then we were put straight on a train.
What were in the packages?
Food and goodies, you know, sort of thing.
And was your unit reformed in Britain?
Yes, we went... when we got put on that train, we got taken up to Northwich in Cheshire. And from there...
Were there people on the sides of the railway line to speak
yes,
to you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. But, of course, we didn't have a lot of time to speak to anyone. You just came off the boat and were given these little parcels and then straight on to the train, which, as I said, took us up to Northwich in Cheshire. From there, we got posted on up to Dumfriesshire, a place called Kirkcudbright. That's where we reformed, the 2-6 reformed.
And then did you stay in Britain until D-Day?
Yes. We reformed in Kirkcudbright. Once we reformed, we then moved down to London, Croydon, as London Defence Troops. And after that, we got... Yes. After that, we got formed into the 24th Guards Brigade and were due to go over to the Far East. And the last minute, we got taken off that. And I think it was Major General Browning who came and had a look at us. And he said, "You're in a Guards Brigade now." And he said, "To look at you," he said, "you're in a mess." you will act like guards, and I shall inspect you again in a fortnight's time, and you'll be like guardsmen. And we certainly had to.
Did he mean you were sloppy?
Well, yes. Yes, we were. I suppose we were. You can't expect much else.
Why couldn't you expect much else?
Well, I mean, we just reformed in Kakuba and come down to London. And we were acting on fire pickets, everything else, you know. And we were sappers, not guardsmen.
Were you in Croydon during the Blitz?
Yes. We were in Croydon when the first bombs dropped on the factories in, at Croydon.
Can you describe it?
Well, no, I can't really describe it. I know we were there. We were stationed at Pampersford Road, then in Croydon. And there was one bomb dropped down by the bus station, and they got us to dig down to it, and then the bomb disposal came and defused it.
Do you remember any other streets or buildings in Croydon that were hit?
No. I can remember one instance in Croydon. We were on fire picket this particular night. An incendiary had gone through the roof, and we dashed to this building and said to the lady, "Well, we've got to go up into your roof and get this bomb out." She said, "Well, be careful with carpets, won't you?"
She didn't want them dirty.
No.
What was the morale of people like in Croydon under the bombing?
Very good. Very good. In fact, the whole of the morale, in my opinion, in London was very good.
Why do you think it was?
Because everyone had the same feeling. We've got to get this over and we should beat them. There was never any fear that... we weren't going to, or I didn't think so anyway.
Did you go to other parts of London to see the damage?
Oh yes, we being in London Defence, we were going all around the places. We were building bunkers at some of the aerodromes, like on Croydon Aerodrome, and the water reservoirs and that we built. Bunkers and all that sort of thing. That's what we were doing in when we were in London Defence. And actually, we built the... but we made the Montgomery headquarters and Paul's School, Hammersmith, for the headquarters of Montgomery.
What did you make?
turned it into offices and that. For them, for headquarters. But now, it doesn't exist now, does it?
I don't know.
No, it's gone.
What was your own speciality as a sapper?
The carpenter. In my early days.
Did people hate the Germans because of the bombing?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was terrible hatred towards the German. They couldn't get over there fast enough, really.
Would they have done any harm to shot down pilots?
I didn't see any. Well, but I think they would. Yeah. The only time I really got in contact with the Germans when we landed D-Day.
Was your own home in London, or did you come from Winchester?
No, I came from King Somborne in Hampshire.
Where's that?
It's near Winchester, about 7 miles from Winchester. I was on leave from London, and there was a bomber came over, and the fighters had got it, and it came down just about a mile from where we were living.
Were there any survivors?
No. But after the war, we did put a monument up to the crew of the Germans, and it's still there today. I've got a photograph of that somewhere.
So people can't have hated them all that much if they put a monument up.
Well, that's right. But this was later on, mind. The monument was put up.
And did the villagers pay for it themselves?
Oh, yes.
What did it say on the monument?
That I can't remember, but I have in my possession somewhere a photograph of a little boy putting flowers on it.
Is it looked after to this day?
That I don't know, because I haven't been there, but I would have been so. The villagers wouldn't have it in the village cemetery.
Why not?
But they resented it. They weren't all in favour of us. The whole village wasn't in favour of it. Hence it was put up at a place called, Hoplands. That's where it is now.
So whose idea was it to put it up?
Mr. Bowyer, but he was then the Secretary of the Royal British Legion.
But he had enough support to raise the money.
Oh, yes. And the actual owner of the ground then was a Colonel Fairbanks. And that's where it was put.
Now, what happened to the unit after the Blitz?
After the Blitz, we went then. I was on leave at the time. I had a telegram to go to Catterick Camp. And when I got there, they said, you're going to be turned into a tank unit. Avery's. And you've come to learn all about Churchill tanks. In fact, we were turned into an assault squadron.
What did the conversion involve then?
Well, it's a complete conversion because there's two different things between a field company and